All right, John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Last time we left off with Jesus healing this official's son. We talked about the region in which he was. Okay? So we were at Cana in Galilee. The man receives healing for his son based upon the request. And then when he gets back home, remember he asked the servants, when did he start getting better? And what's the answer?
The specific hour of day that Jesus started.
Yeah, like the moment Jesus said, your son will heal or your son will live, that's when he started getting better. So that's how we left off chapter 4. Looking at chapter 5, all right, Sam, now that he's done taking that picture, Sam's going to read John chapter 5, verses 1 through 8 for us. Nice and loud, Sam.
Yeah.
It's called participation in Sunday school. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 8.
1 through 8?
After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool in Aramaic called
Bethesda, sorry.
Which has five root
colonnades.
In these lay a multitude of invalid, blind, and lame.
Invalids.
Blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going another step down before me. Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed, and he walked. And now that day...
Oh, that was not my bad. All right, so Sam, where are we in the story? Alright, we're in Jerusalem. Where did we leave off last week? Someone flip back a couple verses. Where were we?
Galilee
is a region. What city were we in?
Samaria.
Mm-hmm. Ben, was that you?
Yeah.
Alright, well, say it one more time.
Cana.
So he was up in Cana. Now he's made the journey down to Jerusalem. Did the Bible tell you why he went to Jerusalem? All right, there's a festival. Does it tell you which one?
Just the Feast of the Jews.
All right, I'm sure that if we wanted to spend some time, we could probably find out which feast it was. What do you guys think?
Mm-hmm.
Think you could?
Blue Letter Bible?
Maybe. All right, but here's what we do know. There's a feast, so what is automatically assumed every time you think of feast in the city of Jerusalem? What should you be thinking about? Alright, let's start with the obvious things. What are the obvious things happening with the feast in Jerusalem? Okay, that was the one thing I wanted you to know. Right? Lots of people. Okay, what's the ironic thing about lots of people with Jesus' miracles? Yeah, they see it. Y'all understand like the complexity? Jesus goes and does these miracles, lots of people see and hear about, and then it's like they go back home and they tell their people. Okay, it's almost as if the whole purpose of the Bible, Sam, is like for you to tell other people what you have seen God do. Alright, so he's in Jerusalem. What else are we introduced to? What's in the passage?
A pool in Aramaic called Bethesda.
Alright, we've got a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, or Bethsaida, some manuscripts say. Okay? What, Sam? Alright, and what kind of pool is this? Sam read some details about it. What? Okay, it heals you or something. So, this pool has some level of stirring. Look down at verse 7. the sick man answered to Jesus, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going down, while I'm going, another steps down before me." I've heard two different sides to this story. One side is very miraculous, and that is that an angel would come down and touch the waters, and it was just a way of God being merciful to his people, that if you got to the water when this angel touched it, then you were healed. The other side is a very naturalistic explanation in the sense of this water just happened to have healing properties, and whenever you got into it, things just got better naturally. I tend to lean toward the supernatural side. You study it out, and I'll let you pick it out. But what do we know about this guy? Well, let's back up. So we know there's a pool. All right, what else do we know about this pool? What are the details about the pool? All right, and they've got these colonnades. What's colonnade? Glad you asked. You all have cell phones. Half of you are using them for things not related to Sunday school. How about you use that Sunday school for some, your phone for something Sunday school related and find out what is a colonnade?
A blue letter Bible.
You can look a blue letter Bible. You can also just Google it. What do we got, Tyler? A row of columns supporting a roof. What does that sound like as far as structural? What does that look like?
A building.
Yeah, what kind of a building? Yeah, what kind of a temple?
Oh, a heathen temple.
I mean, it's, you know, like, whether or not we were watching Scoob yesterday, but they were in Greece. You know, you think of ancient temples in Greece, you got all the columns, and then you have the roof over top, or it's not there. Okay, so you've got, Tyler told us it was five columns, so you have five roofed colonnades. So we've got five little roofs around this place. Okay, what's sitting around the pool? A bunch of sunbathers?
A bunch of invalids.
A bunch of lame people. What other kind of people? Yes, Sam. This entire pool is surrounded by lame people. And blind people and paralyzed people.
Lame people, that's lame.
No. So, typically, Blake, the difference between lame and paralyzed is going to be whether or not you have an infirmity versus inability to move. Like, that's kind of the, you know, if you have clubbed feet, you could still kind of get around, but you have issues. If you're like, Tyler would fall into the lame category. With the knee. Okay, with the knee.
All right.
So, is this the kind of pool where healthy people go?
No.
So why is Jesus going to the pool?
To heal the blind man.
All right, next question. This man, what do we know about this guy?
He can't walk.
Okay, he can't walk. What else do we know about him?
He doesn't have any.
See, Nancy, you should be sitting closer. That way we can hear you.
Yeah.
All right, Nancy, what did you say?
He's been there for like 38 years, I think you said.
Okay. He has been invalid, right, Sam? He has been an invalid for 38 years. Okay, that's older than I've been alive.
Right way.
What?
That's really not. 4 months or something.
All right, 38 years he has been lame, and Jesus sees him. Look at verse 6 with me. What's verse 30 or 6 say? Not 36. What does 6 say? All right, he sees him. He knew he had been lying there a long time. Okay, look. Take a moment. Look at verse 6, please. I want you to look at verse 6 in your Bible. Take a moment, read it quietly to yourself, look at what it says, and then what questions would you ask the Scripture based upon that verse? What questions would you ask the Scripture? Iris?
Why would you ask him that if he knew he had been
alive
for so long?
Yeah.
It almost sounds sarcastic.
It almost does. I mean, you know, I typically will read sarcasm into things because I tend to be more sarcastic. But Iris is exactly right. How does an individual, Robert, who knows he's been lame or an invalid for 38 years, has to ask, well, do you want to be whole? Like, would you like to be healed? Like, no. I actually just really like sunbathing by this pool. Right, Claire? I mean... I like to look over at them and be like, ha, you only have one working leg. I have no working legs. Right. It seems like a very strange question to ask. Now, read the next verse. The sick man answered him, and what's the sick man's response? Sydney, you've got it. What's verse 7 say the sick man's response is?
The sick man answered him, he doesn't have anyone to put him in the pool when the water's turned
over. Yeah, I don't have anyone to put me in the pool. Okay, now, what's ironic about that question, or that answer, considering what we just said about the question Jesus asked? Yeah. If Jesus knows the man's been lame for 38 years, he knows that. He still asked him, do you want to be healed? Like, if you were an invalid laying beside the pool and someone walks up to you and be like, do you want to be healed? How would you respond? I mean, think about it. Like, why else would I be laying around this pool? Like, do healthy people go lay out by the pool? Like, that's not the concept here. Okay? That is not at all the concept here. But that's what the man answers honestly. He says, I want to. But what is the man's problem? Is the man's problem that he is sick? Good. Yeah, Sam, he's got no one to put him in. All right. What has this man identified about his situation? Tell me what he knows about his current status of life.
He has no one.
He knows he needs help, and he has no one. And so what Jesus says to him is what? Say it louder, James.
It said, get up and take up your bed and walk.
Get up, take up your bed, and walk. How many commands did Jesus just give this guy?
Three
different actions. All right. Okay, my daughter was just in the room. You guys understand the concept. When a baby is born, do they walk just fine?
No, they stumble.
They don't even crawl, Zach.
They don't move.
Exactly. Robert's got it figured out. They can't even hold their own head up. Now think about this for just a second. How long has this man been an invalid?
38 years.
What happens to your muscles after 38 years of not using them?
Deteriorate.
Yeah, they deteriorate. Did you just use a fancy word? What'd you say? Okay, so you guys understand that. I don't know what this conversation is, but it's not related to our 38-year-old invalid. He has not used his leg muscles for 38 years. Okay, imagine for just a second, like, let your mind visually represent that. How frail and weak would his legs look? I mean, you've seen people either in movies or commercials or whatever, documentaries, maybe it was just, you know, some sort of reel or short of someone who was healthy and got paralyzed. What happens to the part of their body that got paralyzed? It just shrivels up and, like,
withers.
Yeah, it withers away to nothing. How much do you think, like, did his muscles, like, did his legs suddenly, like, balloon up to, like, normal strength? Or do you think they were still frail? I mean, think about it visually. Like, what would this have looked like for the man who is laying there and he can't move, and Jesus says, get up. He's what? Probably skinny and scrawny, absolutely. Do you think he asked Jesus to help him stand up?
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, we're not told. faith that takes. I've not moved my legs in 38 years. I can't even get into the pool. I can't drag myself over to the pool fast enough to get in. And you want me to stand up? Robert?
So he wasn't able to use his legs because I hadn't moved at all?
Like, he could move. Based upon what the scripture says, it seems like his legs don't work. And in order for him to get from where he lays into the water, he's going to pull himself with his arms.
Yeah, well, I mean,
so army crawl, if you will.
Stuck at that spot, though, in the pool for 38 years?
Not necessarily there for 38 years, but he's been lame for 38 years. So, how long, you know, maybe he's a 38-year-old man. Maybe he was born paralyzed and finally got to the point that his parents died and had no one to care for him, and so he is left to be there. Like, we're not given all those details, and we could speculate about it. But I just want that to you and I read this, and we're all like, dude, Jesus shows up. You know, like, yeah, you got to get up. Think about it from the 38 years of I haven't been able to move my legs. How much faith does that take?
A lot.
He would have been close. The reality would have been, Zach, that there have been lots of people sitting around this pool. The other side of it would be, this would have been like a regular use pool, so people would have drawn water from this. So it's not like they could all literally like clog the access to the pool where no one else could come in and get water. So there have been regular uses of drawing water from this pool.
You know why it was hard to start?
So that's the two. That's what I initially started with. Is there's two thoughts of process. Either that an angel would come down and stir the waters, so that would provide literal healing, or that it was more of a, you know, mineral content that water would mix when something happened underground, and it would have a healing effect.
That wouldn't make sense.
It takes away the supernatural elements of it, which.
But would it make sense to, like, you know, in prison buildings? It's like, you know, like a cleanse or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on the level of healing.
Right.
That would have to be something.
So, but regardless, he's told to get up. What's the next thing he's told to do? Take up his bed. And lastly, what's he told to do?
Walk.
You
think when he does that, pick up his bed?
Well, it probably would have been like a cot, so don't think like he's got a mattress.
Yeah.
It'd have been like a sleeping bag, more or less. Well, he probably, I would imagine, Ben, that this guy has phenomenal upper body strength, because that's the only strength he has. You know, if the only way he moves around is by his arms.
Like that dude who wrestles without legs.
Sure.
You,
dude. I would not wrestle with
him. All right. But, Robert, think about all the additional equipment and whatnot that individual has access to. You know, and who does he have that's helping him do that?
That dude doesn't have legs.
Right.
He's like, don't get in the way. But this dude has legs.
And they get in the way.
Yeah.
But think about this. He says three different steps of obedience that he has to comply with. And as a result, what does he do? And at once the man was healed, he took up his bed, and he walked. And he's gone. He just gets up and goes. Could you imagine? Like, what would this guy be taunting other people with as he walked away? Like, bye. Like, what if you were the other lame guy that only been lame for 10 years, and you were, you know,
imagine like, sitting on the
and you're like, what? Jesus, come back. Okay. So, Ben, are you getting distracted with wrestlers?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so that's the narrative that we have. How would you feel if you were the guy that was lame? Pretty thankful? All right, let me ask this question. If you were lame for 38 years, And Jesus walks up and he says, get up. Do you get up?
Yes.
Why would you get up?
Well, do you know it's Jesus?
Yeah, I'm going to add my
Okay, great question, Blake.
Well, you guys can talk about it. You know it's got to be somebody in sarcastic.
Okay, you think they'd be, maybe they're being sarcastic and he's taunting you.
Yeah.
Okay, we could probably assume that all of the tone that Jesus comes in with is going to be very compassionate and, do you want to be healed? You know, not like, do you want to be healed? Like, I guess, Sam, your kind of natural take on it was like, you're not working hard enough. If you want hard work, you want it bad enough, you're going to get in there. Okay?
I'll get on.
But what does it take for this man to start to even move to get up? What's missing? What does he have so that he starts getting up?
Faith.
James, say it again.
Faith.
All right. Students, is there a parallel of this to our lives? Faith, trust, and pixie dust, right? Alright. And faith, trust, and pixie dust?
Yeah.
Okay, but is it right for us to immediately go to physical healing on this, Tyler? Should we immediately go to, hey, as long as I trust in Jesus, everything's going to, you know, work out?
Nope.
The popular radio song, Todo Está Bien.
Well, we know.
You guys not heard that one?
I don't listen to the radio regularly,
but I heard it.
Todo Está Bien.
Todo Está Bien. Okay, someone please translate. What does Todo mean?
I don't know.
Everything is good. The entire song is based on the premise that everything will be all right. Okay. Now we understand to an extent that, you know, Romans 8:28. Anyone know that one? You should know that off the top of your head. It's a great passage to quote out of context. No. Romans 8:28.
And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good.
Yeah, all things work together for God. Even, I don't know, any of y'all watch Netflix?
No.
I just watch YouTube. There's a TV show on Netflix called Manifest. Any of y'all seen that? In the first couple seasons, they honed in on that verse because the girl's mom who was like dying of cancer or whatever, like, she said like all good things, and she would just quote that verse. It was like, everything's going to work out. Like, it doesn't though, does it?
No.
Sometimes life just sucks. So is it right for us to...
What?
Okay, it doesn't always work out. So when we read a passage like this, do we take our application that it doesn't matter how lame you are, Jesus can heal your physical lameness?
Yes.
Is that where we take it? Is that the lesson we're supposed to learn though, Robert? What is it that we're supposed to learn? What is the lesson that we can walk away with that 10 times out of 9, this is going to be true? Meaning it's more true than there are times. Okay,
God calls you supposed to go.
Okay, great. When God calls, you're supposed to go. What else? What else can we take out of this?
Have faith regardless.
All right. Have faith regardless. Let's ask this question. I'll direct you guys a little. Is there a comparison of a problem that people have had for their whole lives?
What? Well, comparison?
Yeah, is there a comparison for us? Like, is there a problem that you've had your whole life?
Yeah. Like a illness or a condition?
Yeah, it's a condition, that's for sure.
Sin?
Yeah, it's sin. See, we can't take this and say, look, Tyler, and I know you've had knee issues. I've had knee issues as well. Okay, I can't read this passage and be like, oh, as long as I trust Jesus, my knee is going to be healed. That's not the point of the passage. This man's condition is completely fixed by who Jesus is. That Christ has the ability to heal him. Now, does it end there? Is that the end of the story and everyone's like, yeah, this is good. Everyone go home. happy ending, guys. 38-year lame guy, now walking. Yeah, he gets questioned. Good. All right, so Sam started reading verse 9 for us. And at once this man was healed. He took up his bed and walked. And then we get this critical detail. Now, that day was the Sabbath.
Oh, okay.
Carlos, what day is the Sabbath on our calendar?
Saturday.
Good, it's Saturday. And what are you supposed to do on the Saturday Sabbath?
Nothing.
Caden, what are you supposed to do?
Nothing.
Nothing. All right. Now, check out the problem these guys have. Now, the word Shabbat, or what we pronounce as Sabbath, it literally means to cease, okay? So, Sabbath means stop or cease. They're not supposed to work. So the Jews, look at verse 10. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to take up your bed." So the next time your mom or dad says you need to go make your bed, be like, "I can't, it's Sunday." Okay, do not try that. That's right, Robert. You may get to know. Alright? Do not try that. Alright. So the Jews said to the man, "It's not lawful." Alright? I need someone to read verse 11 for me. Zoe, you got it there? You don't have it? Alright, James, read verse 11.
Says, "But he answered them," he answered, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'"
Alright, get this. The lame man has now made this judgment call, Malachi. You're telling me, religious leaders, I'm not supposed to pick up my bed and walk. Here's what I'm telling you. The guy that healed me told me to, so I did it.
Yeah.
Alright? He has now said, my healer is more important to me than you are. That's what he has just said. Now let's continue reading. And they asked him, now they're like, since they've just lost authority, they want to know, who is the man that said to you, take up your bed and walk? And now the man who had just been healed did not know who it was. For Jesus had withdrawn as there was a crowd in that place. He doesn't even know who it is. So afterward, Jesus found him, being the lame man, in the temple, and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." And the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus. Remember, we're in Jerusalem. Because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." So let's close out with this thought. Look at the transition of what we've seen in John. In John chapter 4, we're introduced to Jesus healing a wicked, sinful woman of her sin at the well, the Samaritan woman. Then Jesus heals the servant of most likely a Gentile, the son of most likely a Gentile. Now he's healing a lame person, and he's doing so on the Sabbath. Jesus is going into regions where Jews don't go when he's healing people. Jesus is healing people who the Jews think they're better than because they are not of the right lineage. And now Jesus is healing people on days that the Jewish leaders want nothing to do with. Think about that. These guys, these religious leaders, are so consumed with their authority, their power, their schedule, that they think they're right, that to hear that a man is healed on a particular day has ruined their day. Which, by the way, if you really want to get into the minutiae of the law,
small details.
All right. So when you go home today, Robert, you're like, you know, today we kind of talked about how people would really get into the minutiae of the law. okay. And they're so consumed. The Mosaic Law did not forbid someone from rolling up their bed mat. Okay? They have taken the law and they've added to it to such a level that it was never intended to be. And we'll see over and over again through Jesus' ministry, Jesus tells them the Sabbath was not made and then man was made as a way for the Sabbath to be glorified. The Sabbath was made for man to rest because they're supposed to be focusing on God. That was the whole point of the Sabbath. On this day, stop worrying about what you're worrying about and you devote that day to me. Had this man not already devoted his day to Jesus? He, in this one day, had spent more time in obedience to Jesus than many people walking around Jerusalem had. Because what did he do? He got up, he took up his bed, and he walked. And then, lo and behold, where did he find him later? In the temple. This man got up from being healed and decided, I'm going to the temple. Why? It was the Sabbath. That's what they're supposed to do. And then he's reminded, or he's reintroduced to who Jesus is, and now he knows. And as a result of finding out who this man is that has healed him, he has another commandment of go and sin no more. Sin no more. So nothing worse happens to you. And then Jesus starts telling people, my Father is working. All right. We'll stop there for today. See you guys.